AM 1220 KDOW presents Money 2.0.
Money 2.0.
Now, helping you excel in business and in life. Here's business coach and Money 2.0 host, Margaret Jackson.
Welcome to Business on the Edge. This show is brought to you by the Small Business Concierge Communications and Digital Media. Thank you for tuning in to today's radio show. We appreciate your listenership. We are broadcasting, yes, a hand clap there. We always like to appreciate you. We are broadcasting live from Silicon Valley Bay Area and around the world on AM 1220 KDOW, iHeartRadio, and online streaming, where you can always, always, always listen live. If you want to dial into today's radio show, you can dial in at 1-800-516-1220. That is 1-800-516-1220, and get your questions and comments on air with me today. Of course, you can always connect with me directly at On The Edge, at businessontheedge.biz, or call 1-888-MY-SBC-30. I am so excited to be here. Can you believe this year? It just seems like it's flying by. We're like done with February. We're here month three here. So I got a little story. I think it's so important for us to understand our finances, understand the products, all of the different products that allows us to build wealth and build financial literacy and all of the different opportunities that are out there to get access to products that, especially for minority communities, when I grew up, I didn't know anything. I knew about a bank account, a savings account, a checking account. And back then, the insurance guy, because that's really an investment product, right? The insurance guy, Ahern, I can remember his name. Ahern, I'm sure he is no longer with us. He was kind of older back then, an older guy. And they would door knock and come pick up your insurance payment. And so you really got to know your insurance guy. And so in my community, there wasn't any discussions. I grew up in a low-income neighborhood. We didn't have discussions about finances and investing and doing all of these types of things that are really should be normal, right? There should be some intelligence. There should be, in fact, I think schools should start teaching financial literacy to children. And so today I have a returning guest, and we're going to talk a little bit more about the financial organizations, and I'm interested in an organization that he is connected to. He's one of the best, by far one of the best financial literacy education and trainers out there, and I'd like to introduce Brad Hamada. Brad, how are you today?
I am doing great. Thank you for having me on again. It's always a pleasure.
I have sat and we've done some events together and listened to you just break down the financial system and savings and really we and again, I grew up in a low-income neighborhood. So if we did have a savings account, if we had something to save, I'm just saying, you know, we didn't have a whole lot to save. But you really explain how that might not be the best strategy. And there's so many other products out there. So can you kind of just give us an overview of kind of some of the things that you train about and talk about? And then we're going to get into the organization that you work with and some of the controversies around it. And then just kind of, you know, just give our audience this deeper dive in this, let's just say, the financial education world from Brad Hamada's perspective.
Okay. Well, you know, a little bit about my background, Margaret. You know, I come from an engineering background, so I'm kind of just one of those, maybe kind of a geeky problem solving guy. You know, coming from engineering, engineers, for better or for worse, we like to kind of get the bigger picture before we dive in and we take care of the small stuff. And so when we talk about financial education and a client and educating them and getting them into a position that's going to better their future, I believe in a more holistic approach. There are other types of programs out there that deal specifically only with, let's say, debt, or deal specifically only with small, maybe, you know, just the investment side. But there's so much more to it. When you think about someone, like you're talking about, someone just starting to save, right? You know, we have to build that habit. It's not just savings doesn't just happen, right? And so you build that habit. You know, maybe they're graduating from college and they've got some debt, so they have to manage that, but they have to balance their savings and their debt. And then they start to build a family. Then they have to protect their family. And then they start to think about their kids' education, right? And so there's all these different components about finances, and most people are just thinking about, okay, what can I save? But there's so much more to it. And then you talk about retirement and, you know, programs are evolving in the industry so quickly, and there are so many different kinds of things that people just don't know about. And so I always tell people, just like your car, if you want to change your own oil, you can, and if you know how to do it, fantastic. But like myself, I don't know how to change my own oil, so I take it to somebody else. I take it to the expert, and he does it for me. So like your finances, if you don't have time to deal with it, if you don't have time to keep up with all the changes in the industry, all the regulation, then I always tell people, hey, get yourself educated and work with somebody that is willing to not only help you with your finances, but keep you educated and keep you on top of things as they change into the future. So that's been always my take is, understand the big picture so that you can handle the small things.
Absolutely. And I think that that's so fantastic. And what I wish I had learned, my financial habits were horrible, horrible. Now, I wasn't a big spender in terms of I just went out and just bought, you know, anything, but just normal day-to-day living and getting in debt. And in my household, I was in a one-parent household. My parents divorced when I was very, very young. And my mother ended up getting ill. And so she was a dialysis patient for more than 25 years. So she couldn't work. And I would see literally stacks of bills, medical bills on the table. And I remember one time after I'd gotten married and I came back to visit and I looked at the table that it usually had the medical expenses and bills there. And, you know, she had medical, you know, assistance, but it just wasn't enough. And I said, hey, what are you going to do, Mom? What are you going to do with all of that, with all of these bills? And she really just said, I was really shocked. She said, oh, well, they got enough money. That was just her response. It's like, they have enough money. In other words, I'm not going to pay it. It didn't matter to her. And so I learned something very different because she didn't know. She wasn't educated, and she didn't have a financial place for income or revenue coming in. But when you're trained, and this is why I love bringing you into women groups and minority groups, because this is really still very new information, and the examples and the layman's terms that you break it down is absolutely phenomenal. And so can you spend a moment and just kind of, now this is a savvy audience, so they're investors, they have their portfolios, right? But maybe they have family members who don't, and they've been trying to encourage them to do something more and really learn about different ways to invest and save money. When you grow up poor, you don't think you can save. And so I will ask you, Brett, can you save if you're poor?
I believe anyone can save. Savings is just a habit, just like spending, right? So if we can spend the money, we can save it. It's just a matter of understanding, is the money going out of your pocket or is it staying in your pocket? And I see, you know, when we do work with minorities, I mean, you know, they're in, you know, in a lot of cases, there's a lack of information and education that gets there. And so I always work on the assumption that nobody wants to fail financially. I think that's right? That sounds like a fair starting point.
Right.
And so if I go on that assumption that nobody wants to fail financially, then there's just something that they're not understanding or that hasn't been provided to them, whether it's, you know, whatever, demographically, culturally, or anything like that. And we can start there. So everyone can save. And as you start to save, I think maybe we're moving towards this, but as you start to save, I start to see that we have to understand how to save and what does savings mean. And, you know, through financial literacy, we don't spend a lot of time talking about products and services. We spend time talking about concepts and ideas. So if you're going to save, do you want to pay, you know, how do you want to pay tax on your money? Right. So instead of talking about specific products and how they work, because they change all the time, we talk about taxes, we talk about risk, we talk about cash flow. And once you can understand like these concepts, then you can start to really design your own financial life. You can decide, okay, where am I falling short? Where am I? What can I work on? What am I doing well on that I can improve on? And so I believe that anyone, if they have the need or they have the urgency to save for their family and create something and build a legacy, that anything is possible for anyone.
Well, that's absolutely powerful, and it needs to be heard over and over and over again. Now, Brad, you work for an interesting organization that I'm wondering if they're getting a bad rap. And so we hear about Wealth Financial Group, WSB. And so can you share with the audience, can you debunk some of the, it's like being invited to go to an event and you don't have all of the information and you feel like you got blindsided because you think you just connected to an MLM organization. But I've had an opportunity to attend an event recently with you, and it was absolutely interesting and fascinating. But as I listened to how the information was given, I began in my own mind, says, this really doesn't look like an MLM type of structure. And I think that there's some misunderstanding about it. So can you kind of help us, tell us a little bit about the history of Wealth Financial Group and Wealth Systems Builders, and just kind of walk us through that process and debunk. We got a couple of minutes before we go to commercial break, but let's start the pick on this a little bit.
Okay. So, oh my gosh. So how much, we have 3-4 hours. How much time do we have? I'm just joking. Okay. So let's start out. Yeah, I agree. So there are actually many, you know, financial groups right now. I'll speak specifically about our group because I know it and understand it the best. I've been with it for 18 years. It does get a rap as like a multi-level marketing, as pyramid scheme and stuff like that. And I understand, you know, so if we're going to kind of go back to the beginning, you know, I won't go back to the beginning of time, but when I started looking for something outside of my engineering career, when I realized that engineering was not going to be the thing that was going to be my future, I didn't have time to go back and get another 4-year degree. I didn't have the money to do it. I was making pretty good money, about a 6-figure income. But I was looking for, you know, I was looking for a transition. And when I found this organization, I didn't have financial experience, and they said they were willing to train me. And so that's
I'm going to pause you. That's how you start out. Let's pause there. I got to go to a commercial break. When we come back, we're going to get more of the story of the mystery around Wealth Financial Group. And Brad is going to share that with us. You're listening to AM 1220 KDOW Business on the Edge with Margaret Jackson. We are Bay Area's business and finance leader.
This is Money 2.0 on AM 1220 KDOW.
Welcome back. Welcome back to Business on the Edge. Nice, nice, smooth entry. Welcome back. We're talking to Brad Hamada, a financial literacy educator. Amazing, amazing, amazing. So, Brad, we started our conversation, well, ended our conversation, rather, about the mystery around World Financial Group. I may have said wealth in the previous segment, but World Financial Group and World System Builder that is kind of under that WFG. And so you got your start. And so continue your story and help us understand really how the system works, because it's apparently not an MLM marketing scheme of sorts.
So, yeah, so I'll break that down a little bit more. But, you know, one of the great things for me is that because I was looking to transition, there's an organization like this that was willing to give me a chance without quotas, without a lot of the corporate structure, without making me quit my job and start from ground zero again. And so the organization, I owe a great deal to that. And what it does is it offers a lot of opportunity for people. I mean, we all have to go through licensing. We all get certified through the state. I'm certified through the federal government. I have a fiduciary license. And we all go through background checks and things like that. So that's one of the things I really appreciated, was it got me into the financial industry, and it gave me a perspective that I could build something of my own rather than just going out and trying to sell my way through the industry and hopefully make it. And so I think that a lot of times when we talk about like MLMs, there are a couple factors. So number one, they say, oh, you know, an MLM, they let everybody in. I'm not sure how other companies work because I've never done another type of business. I've looked into other things, but once I started to see what this was, I started to realize, number one, it was just as good, and in my opinion, if not better, than what the regular financial industry was offering. I could bring my experience and my expertise and my licenses, and I didn't have to work with people that had massive net worth. I could work with individuals like myself who are trying to build up my financial future. I could work with the people that I wanted to instead of who was assigned to me. I didn't have to work on cold calling. I could work with warm market and friends, and I could grow and build an organization that could do the same thing. And so I think when people talk about like this whole concept of like a MLM or like a pyramid scheme, I think there's a lot of bad taste in the past about companies and organizations, not even in the financial industry, but other business models. And what I see is that business models these days are evolving. People are looking for things that are more flexible. And so these types of opportunities come up, and now it's up to the person that joins to really make the most of it. And so sometimes, when we look at that, maybe it's not the organization that has an issue, but maybe it's the person that joins has some issues that reflect poorly on the business and things like that. But when I look at what's the difference? People say, what's the difference, right? You guys sell products, you guys recruit people. What's the difference between you and every other like multi-level Ponzi scheme or whatever that's out there? So number one, I tell people that most of the businesses that are out there that are multi-level, they're legitimate. They're not Ponzi schemes. They're not pyramid schemes. They are legitimate businesses, but they just run differently. Right, they just don't run like a corporation. And so I know with World Financial Group, one of the big things in the MLM arena is the idea of recruiting for money, where you recruit somebody and you get paid. And so with World Financial Group, we do not get paid a single penny for anyone that joins. As a matter of fact, when someone joins, we have to put out a lot of time to train them, because there's licensing and there's different products and services that need to be understood, and there's a lot of training that goes into it. So we don't make any money recruiting people. We do it purely to expand the organization and be able to grow, so that way I can find good people that can work with me and for me, that I can mentor and I can train and help them build a sustainable business too. We don't get paid to do that. When people join our organization, there is no requirement to buy anything. There's no auto billing or anything like that. All the products and services in the financial industry by law need to be recommended based upon a minimum standard of suitability and affordability. So it's not like join and then you have to buy this product and then just, you know, you just keep buying every month or something like that, some kind of auto billing. With us, if there is a product or service that's suitable, it could be an investment, could be an insurance, it could be, you know, whatever, then those kinds of programs are available and you utilize them because they benefit you, not out of necessity for the business model to generate production.
Wow. I'm going to pause you just there for a moment. So when I was at your event or the World Financial Group event earlier this year, a few weeks back, really, to really put this in perspective, what I saw was normal people sharing their story, and it was this before and after. It's like watching this infomercial to some degree. That I just, this is what my face looked like before I did whatever, and then I used some super wonderful cream, and now this is what it looks like after. But their before and after, and this was their before and after financial, just their I guess I want to say their financial, not ID card or anything like that, but just where they were prior to participating in this organization and where they're at now. So it's kind of maybe their financial resume would be a better way to says, this is where I was. I had, this is what I had. This is how much debt I had. I didn't have any investment, anything. And this is where I'm at. And this, and it was so amazing. And the revenue and the income that they're creating and bringing their, like you said, their family and friends and just sharing their stories. And so I found it fascinating in terms of listening to the stories, not just locally, but you guys were actually simulcasting all over. I guess you had four different places, three or four different cities that were part of this whole kind of summit and just encouragement kind of thing. Is that, we got to go to a commercial break, but it was just absolutely amazing to see the stories. So you come together to share the stories. We've got to go to a commercial break. You're listening to Margaret Jackson here on AM 1220 KDOW. We are Bay Area's business and finance leader.
This is Money 2.0 on AM 1220 KDOW.
Welcome back. Welcome back. Welcome back. We are live, Silicon Valley, Bay Area, wherever you're at in the nation, iHeartRadio. We hope you're getting a lot of value out of Brad's information. I really, really, if this is new to you, if you are in the minority, and these are concepts that you have not heard before, we're going to give you an opportunity to connect, and I'm sure wherever you're at in the nation, Brad can connect you with their affiliates, so that way you can at least begin doing your research, doing your homework, investigate. I would be careful to just write off the World Financial Group as an MLM, and maybe the insurance, their insurance, because their investment in insurances counterparts might, you know, there's always going to be someone who will be the naysayer, but I'm really interested in what Brad is saying. And I thought he crystallized this so well that I'm going to bring him back in just a moment. And I wrote this down. It's given you an opportunity, which is mind blowing. Design your own financial life. design. I've never heard anyone say that. Design your own financial life, and anyone can save. It's a habit. So even if you don't have much, I grew up with not having much. But as I, in retrospect, did I have something? Did I have $5 I could save and forget about and put it in? If even if I didn't put it in a bank account, could I have put it in a in my piggy bank, for example, or a shoebox just to begin that habit? And so, Brad, thank you so much. It is just refreshing to kind of simplify and appreciate that financial habits are worth the, and you're talking about discipline, right? Disciplining yourself, and you don't have to do it. Oftentimes we think that it has to be this huge pivot, right? And it's scary. And especially if you don't have much, it's like, how can I do it? I can't do it. I got to feed my kids. I got to, yes, I got to send them to college. And yes, what if something happens and, you know, you need a lump sum because, you know, the loved one passed away, or it's just, it can be overwhelming. And when it's overwhelming, you think that you cannot, at the very least, save. And I'm sure you've seen those type of cases and situations.
You know, I have. I always tell people the first situation that this really came to light was my own. When I joined the organization, they talked about, you know, they said, can you save $10 a day? Right. So I was making maybe at the time I was making about $50 an hour. And they're like, can you save like 6 minutes of your day? Right. Or 10 minutes of your day. And I said, I mean, that seems so insignificant. But then the main thing, right, regardless of you save $3 a day, a dollar a day, start. Because you never know what you're capable of financially until you start. And what was really cool was, just like people get addicted to spending, I started to get addicted to saving. So, you know, starting with $10 a day, and then, you know, and then within a few months, I was saving $500 a month, and then $1,000 a month, now thousands a month, in savings, just because I started. I didn't know where I could go, but I knew I need to start somewhere. And that's, where a lot of people, you know, fall off the rails, is they never even get on the train, and then they wonder why they're still at the station. And so, you know, my own situation was like that. And that's why I always tell people, just start saving something. But then as as you're able to start to save a little bit more, and then become educated on where is the best place to save it, because in a can in the backyard is not probably the best place to save it these days.
Absolutely. Got to go to a commercial break. You're listening to AM 1220 KDOW Business on the Edge with Margaret Jackson. We are Bay Area's business and finance leader.
Get ready. Business on the Edge is taking you out of the studio walls with the Small Business Concierge magazine. You've been waiting, looking for it. Now it's here. Business expert contributors, small business concierge, STEAM, local events, YE 2.0, the young entrepreneur, women in business centerfold, small business science lab, bridging the gap, the bottom line. Now here's Silicon Valley's number one business radio personality, Margaret Jackson.
Welcome to the Small Business Concierge segment of the show. Always wonderful, always fantastic, warms my heart. I love small businesses. I love young businesses, young folks in business, women in business, minority business owners. These are my sweet spot clients, and that's who I'm going to cheerlead for. We've been talking to Brad Hamada, financial literacy educator, wealth financial group, world system builders, not an MLM. I know you guys are throwing rocks at me right now, but just deal with it. It's not an MLM, as much as you'd love to maybe stick it in that category. But Here in the Small Business Concierge segment, when we produce our magazine, we're in the middle of producing it. In fact, oh, I'm so excited. We're giving it a fresh look. Our first magazine, digital magazine, was published in 2018 during the Silicon Valley Small Business Summit. We were asked to kick off the summit. I was asked to set the tone, and we kicked it off with our Small Business Concierge digital magazine. And it is a magazine of small business thought leaders. It's a magazine to help small businesses have a well-rounded view and perspective of education, training, real life, real information on all these different sides of an entrepreneur. It's a small business entrepreneur. And so we've got the Small Business Science Lab. That's where you kind of, we kind of help you dig in and just think about how to do things the right way. And then we have the Bottom Line, where we often, every now and then, well, maybe often is a little specific, but Brad Hamada will do a contribute an article for us. And he's contributing an article that you're going to get an opportunity to read in its entirety when we publish Financial Organizations and the MLM Pyramid Dilemma. That is the title of the article. And Brad, can you just give us an overarching, high-level view of what we can expect from that article?
Yes, absolutely. You know, this I think the article will, I think the article for somebody who is open to understand different kinds of businesses, because as I mentioned earlier, businesses are evolving and changing, models are continuously evolving. We're going to take a deep dive into it. And, I want people to see that businesses out there where you can go out and you can build an organization. Those are great businesses. Those are businesses that, you know, those are businesses that have, that provide income for families, that provide not jobs, but business opportunities for people that are entrepreneurial. And that, you know, as the playing field evolves, I think things are definitely very fair for everybody. And so, you know, we're going to talk about the idea, you know, what some of the old school ideas are behind MLMs, and we're going to talk about how businesses are changing and how they're becoming more professional, how compensation becomes more fair, and how you can look at these different kinds of organizations and really, you know, take a little bit of a dive into them and understand them for what they are and the opportunity that they can provide for people and maybe even yourself.
That's fantastic. I'm excited to share this article in our magazine. I think it needed to be written. It needs to be said. And then I think it's going to help a lot of people, that those, and like you said, that are interested in really looking at a non-traditional way of building and growing wealth and also getting the products that you're able to invest in your life. Now, Brad, let me ask you a question. If one of our listeners or listeners throughout the United States, and we do reach the world, but how would someone get a hold of you? How can we help them connect with you?
Oh, that's a great question. Well, Mark, I don't know what's best. Can they reach out to you? I can leave my information with you. I'm not sure.
Absolutely.
If I should give it out on the air, can they reach out to you? Is that a possibility?
Absolutely. Absolutely. So this is what we're going to do. You can reach me at onthe edge@businessontheedge.biz and send me a message that says, I would like to talk to Brad, and that I will make sure that I get you guys connected and the contact information that he gives me, then we can certainly get him to you. And also, he does, again, a lot of training and education, so you might want him to come into your institution and train. But just send me an email onthe edge@businessontheedge.biz. I'd like to talk to Brad, and I will certainly get you connected, and you will not be disappointed.
This is Money 2.0 on AM 1220 KDOW.
Welcome back. Business on the Edge with Margaret Jackson here in Silicon Valley, Bay Area, iHeartRadio, and around the world. We are the business and finance leaders. Boy, that music, my producer's just been really bringing just some nice intro music. I think I need a glass of wine. Moscato is my choice of wine. I don't drink much, but when I do, I'd like a nice cold glass of white wine, Moscato, a little dessert wine. I like sweet wines. I grew up on Kool-Aid, so I like the sweetness of the taste. Brad, first of all, I want to thank you for coming on the show with me today. You are a wealth of information about really appreciating. Your story is a real story. Appreciating the value of saving. And your example in the last segment, can you save $10? Can you save 10 minutes? If you get into the habit, the addicted habit of spending, we don't think of it like that, right? That, and if we do, we think it's some ultra rich kid of some, you know, that has an ultra rich mom and dad, that they don't have any discipline in what they spend. And so you really kind of bring in perspective the potential of what your life could be like if you just start with $10, just start with something. So when you started, as we close out, when you started saving those early days, that first day, do you remember that first day? And then the next day, and the next day, and the next day. What was that like? What was that first week like, or that first day like? Were you afraid? Did you have any trepidation? What was that emotional financial piece? Because it's interesting, men can be really emotional about finances and making sure that they're taking care of their responsibilities and families and all of that.
Yeah, so surprisingly, right, even something as like saving money, I would say that almost everybody would agree that we should do it. But even when you just start saving, or I tell people, you know, some people save, but they save conveniently. And when I talk with people, I tell them, you know, your savings needs to be in your budget. You can't save what's left. You actually have to save from the beginning before you pay all your bills. And that's daunting, because then in some ways people see their savings as a bill. And a little bit yes and a little bit no, because, if you don't pay yourself, no one else is going to pay you. And so I treated it as a bill. I treated it as like, okay, you know what? I've got to put this aside. If I need to cut back on my spending this month to meet my savings, then that's what I need to do. And it's daunting, just like anything new. I mean, the simplest things, just to start, is it can be a little bit nerve-wracking, but you start to realize very soon that, number one, it's good for you, right? It's kind of like going to the doctor, right? Every time we go to the doctor, no guy likes to go to the doctor, but you realize that in the long run, it's going to pay off dividends, and no pun intended, but in the long run, it's going to pay off. And so as you get used to it, you become more, you become at ease with it in your mind. And then you start to, instead of thinking from a viewpoint of scarcity, now you start to think about, well, what if I could save more, right? And now life becomes more abundant. You're thinking about, wow, if I could save a little bit more, now I could pay off these debts. I could send my kids to school. I can retire earlier, right? And now everything, you can see how the addiction to saving starts to build, because you start to realize that anything in your life is possible once you start building that habit of saving.
Right. And just as a byproduct, it has to improve your credit score. Because if you're paying off and you're getting those credit cards down below 30%, you're getting that credit score back up, just getting addicted to paying off your bills, you know, with savings. But I think that's, you know, that's a catalyst or a nice little just getting addicted to paying off your bills and being able to improve your credit score, save money. And I don't think it just gets any better than that. And so before we get out of here, what would you say the earliest age you would recommend starting to teach your children about money and finances, investing? And
ooh, this is a great question. But the earliest age is, we need to educate ourselves first. So I answer your question, but I don't. The earliest age is that we as parents need to be educated first. So we can't, right? We can't educate our kids or push our kids to be educated. We can't tell our kids to brush their teeth when we don't. We can't tell our kids to take a bath when we don't. Same thing with money. We can't tell our kids to be smart about money if we don't understand it ourselves. So I always encourage, sure, it's great for kids to learn, but it's most important for parents, because as parents, you are their guiding light. You're the person that is going to set all of their, what is normal in their life. Is saving normal or is spending normal? And so as a parent, I always encourage them to be educated first. And then you will teach your kids along the way. You will show them by example that they should save.
Right. I would agree with that. The example of my mother with all of the medical bills on the table, I had a mindset of, I don't know, they'll get paid when they get paid. You know, and so now I'm much more further along, and I don't like debt. I like to make sure debt happens. That's part of life. It's important because if you're buying high dollar items and everything, one of the ways that the system wants to see whether or not you can pay your debt and buy a house or buy a car is how well you did it, looking at your credit score. So I had to really learn the hard way. And so this is fantastic. If you want to get connected to Brad Hamada, learn a little bit more, have him come and train your group. Maybe you're a nonprofit group. He is the guy that can break it down in layman's term. Brad, thank you so much for coming on the show. You're listening to Margaret Jackson here on AM 1220 KDOW. We are Bay Area's business and finance leader. Don't you forget it.